Praise the Lord. Thanks, Isabel. Thank you to the whole Sala family. Praise the Lord. Who's ready to hear the word? Woo! Yes. Praise the Lord. I really feel like I've got a word from God this morning. I really feel like the Lord wants to speak to some people. So get ready for that. Get ready for God speaking into your heart, into your spirit. We're going to read from Luke chapter 8. We're going to dig straight into it. So if you've got a Bible, open it up to the Gospels, the Gospel according to St. Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Make some noise when you've got it. We're going to read this, and someone's found it already. That was quick. Wow, my goodness. Praise the Lord. Let me give you some background to this scripture this morning in Luke chapter 8. Verse 4 onwards. It's called the parable of the sower, and it's actually found in Mark's gospel, Matthew's gospel, and it's found here in Luke. And we're going to have a look at Luke's account of this scripture. Luke chapter 8 verse 4 says, while a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky road, on the rocky ground, sorry, not rocky road. Some fell, pie and chips. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Praise the Lord. Let me just pray. Father, I pray this morning that we would be able to hear the word of the Lord this morning. That we would be able to hear what you want to say to us and apply it to our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, come and move in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. So my message this morning is, where's the seed going to fall? Where's the seed going to fall? That's a choice you make when you hear the word of God. Where the seed falls for you. Where's it going to fall? Where's the seed going to fall this morning as I speak? Let me give you some context of this Luke passage. Luke kind of puts this story in amongst a couple of other stories in Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 7, verse 18, if you flip back, if you've got your scriptures there, it says this, John's disciples, John the Baptist, told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? So John's disciples head over to Jesus, right? When the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to ask you, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? And at that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Praise the Lord. Go back and tell them what you have seen and heard. Right? Go after the passage in Luke chapter 8. We read in Luke chapter 8, verse 19 to 21. says this: Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Yeah? So have a think about what Jesus has done. He's healed the sick. He's cast out evil spirits. He's done amazing work. Now, here's the parable of the sower. Where's the seed going to fall? Are you going to hear? Are you going to hear what Jesus has done? And if you hear what Jesus has done, go tell them that when I hear it, I go and put it into practice. Yeah? You understand this passage is found in amongst these two scriptures. So hear what Jesus has done. Hear the word. Understand that he's healed the sick and he's cured those who were blind, brought sight to them. And hear the word and put it into practice. So I'm going to suggest to you this morning a few things. This is a good 3-point sermon this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you want six. I know you're eager, but I've only got three. To be fruitful, you need to first hear the word. Yeah? Oh, you know, call me charismatic stupid if you want. Actually, don't do that. It might affect my self-esteem. But that's why I asked you to respond, because I want you to hear the word. You know, I know you can hear it without responding. I get that. But I just want to be sure of it sometimes, you know. I love people when they're responding because they're hearing the word. They're hearing the word and wanting to respond to it. You know, I say to my kids, "Hey, kids, it's time to clean your bedroom. Hear the word from your parent this morning in Jesus' name. It's time to clean your room, kids." None of the children hear me. None of them hear me. Seriously, they do not hear me. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I want to take them to the doctors, you know, get them to see whether they've got wax in there. Yesterday, I kid you not, I was in my bedroom doing a bit of reading, and I said, "Hey, kids, you want a lolly?" Seriously, bang, they were there. All three ready to go. "Ah, she got two, I want two." When I asked you to clean your bedroom, you couldn't hear a word. We've got to hear the word. We've got two ears and one mouth, yeah? Twice the listening, less speaking. My wife told me that one night when, you know, we're arguing. But active listening. We talk about active listening. And we get it. People come next to us and they want to chat. And you're thinking about other things, right? You're thinking about the fact that you still need to go shopping, you need to pick up the kids from school, you need to finish the work on the desk. You know, you've got these things you're thinking about. Someone wants to chat with you. And you're challenged in those moments to be actively listening. Not just listening, but actively listening and considering what they're saying before you're considering what you're going to say back. Yeah, we've got to learn to listen. We're in such a busy kind of society today. We've got to learn to listen. And I wonder whether we're listening to the Holy Spirit. I wonder whether in the midst of our busyness, we actually stop at some point. Excuse me, and listen to what the Lord wants to say to us. Not just, "God, just bless me today. Just bless me as I go about my day. I'm busy, just God." You know, that's good to pray while you're going about it, but at some point you've got to stop and say, "God, just speak to me." Yeah? Just speak to me. Bill Hybels talks about getting a couch and spending 10 minutes on the couch. And just 10 minutes, even set your timer. Turn off the TV, turn off your iPad, whatever, and just spend time listening to God. Not requesting things. "Hey, God, I've got to pay my mortgage. Hey, God, I've got a lot of stress at work. Hey, God, I've got this. Hey, God, I've got this." Listen to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? Amen. But here's the thing. You can hear the word of God, but it's not enough just to hear the word. See, many people hear the word, but the seed that falls among the thorns, life's worries and riches and pleasures consume them. They hear the word, but then other things take root in their life and they do not mature. We all know people who hear the word of God, but life gets difficult and they forget the word. They forget what God spoke to them, and they go and try to do life by themselves. But God hasn't called us to be a warrior. He's called us to be a warrior. Yeah? You understand? God hasn't called you to be a warrior. But God has called you to be a warrior. I don't even know what that is, but I don't know. Praise the Lord. So many of us hear the word of God, but then we worry and get concerned. And where's my next paycheck coming from? And are my family ever going to love me again? And am I going to find myself getting out of this hole that I'm in? And we worry and worry and worry, and we become what my mum used to call me, a worry wart. She used to call me a worry wart. Actually, I used to have little warts on here, and she said, they're worry warts. And I had to get them kind of frozen off anyway. Let's not put that on the tape. Don't be a worry wart. Don't just hear the word of God and then still get all concerned about what's going on in your life. We do the same with the U.S. election. Oh, my goodness. Oh. I've said it before, but out of 350 million people, is that the best two you could have chosen? You know, so you've got Donald Trump, and you've got Hillary Clinton, and you've got Christians right across the U.S., let alone Australia, concerned, worried. Now, I get that, but Pastor Andy Stanley speaks in front of his church in America during the week and says, why don't you just have faith? Yeah? Choose the candidate you believe you should choose. I'm not going to go into that, but have faith. Where is the faith? That God can allow things to happen to his purposes and bring good out of what seems to be difficult. Where's your faith? And so many of us hear the word of God, but we get worried, concerned, and we just need to have faith in the midst of our difficulties. Praise the Lord. So the seed falls, for some people, on thorny ground. The thorns kind of rise up and choke the seed. And the consumerist lifestyle gets to people. You know, I prayed for someone a couple of years ago. I remember this very clearly. I prayed for them. I prayed for a woman that she was struggling. She had tears in her eyes. She was really struggling. And she'd lost her job and she had no money. And she wanted God to help her get back on track. So we prayed for this lady. We laid hands on her. We said, God, would you give her a job? Not just any job. God, would you give her a great job? Would you just get her out of the pickle that she's in? In Jesus' name, we prayed. A couple of days later, this woman got a job. She got a great job. God had heard our prayers. Guess what? Never saw her again. Never saw her again. God answered her prayer. Bang, gone. All of it, no doubt she's caught up again with the seed falling in amongst the thorns, worried about how she's going to now deal with her wealth. You understand what I'm saying? Some people hear the word of God, but then they lose it so quickly. Oh, God, help us. I learned a word during the week. This is good. Bruce did some Greek words last week, so I have to kind of just, you know, keep the bar high. Solipsism. Everyone say solipsism. This is good. This means an extreme preoccupation with an indulgence of one's feelings and desires. For instance, egotistical self-absorption. Solipsism. How many people in our community today have solipsism? I want to dare you just during the week to just tell someone, you're struggling with solipsism. That's what you're struggling with. An extreme preoccupation with an indulgence with one's feelings and we get so concerned about how we're feeling, we forget the word of God. So, to be fruitful, we need to hear the word, but then we need to retain the word. Praise the Lord. We need to not just hear it, but retain it. And how do we do that? I'm thinking, you know, if God says something over your life, then maybe write it down. Get a journal or something. You know, write it down. And I heard recently a cadet in the Salvation Army Training College has two journals, one for the great things that are happening and one for some of the struggles. I've never tried that before, to kind of, you know, and then occasionally she can read through the struggles and then she can read through the things that God is doing that are positive in her life. But when God says something to you, write it down. Try to remember what God has said to you. I remember walking through the schoolyard one day, and I was struggling, and I remember repeating over and over again, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? And I repeated it about seven times. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. And guess what? I started to laugh. I started to actually not just hear the word and recite the word, but I began to actually, yeah, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Woo! Yeah, he's under my feet. You know, and the teachers come out and go, what are you doing? No, he's under my feet. You know, it's one thing to hear the word, but to retain the word, you know? And sometimes we've got to hear the word when things are going well so that we can apply it for when things are difficult, yeah? Because it's times when we're difficult that we need to rely on the words that we heard when things were better for us, right? Because it's in those moments when things are going well for us that we begin to build a foundation of understanding of the word of God so that when the darkness comes, we're able to stand there and go, hey, I remember what you told me. I remember what I heard. Oh, this is what the Lord says to me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah? So, what God speaks to you, write it down. Recite it. Repeat it over and over. And let me just give you this little tidbit of information. Keep reading the word. Wow, that was simplistic. Keep reading the word. Keep reading it. Oh, good, you read it yesterday. Read it again. Yeah? Oh, you read it the day. Read it again. Pull out the Gospels, read it again. I've been challenged by God with this in my own life. I've read the Gospels. Oh, but Lord, I've read the Gospels. And I feel like God's saying, read them again. Because I'm about to show you something new in the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So it's one thing to hear the Word, and it's another thing to retain the Word. Oh, I'm getting on to point three. I'm about to warm up. Praise the Lord. To be fruitful, you need to persevere with the word. Or we're just looking at the scripture here because this is in the scripture we read, right? In verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. Oh, God, help us to persevere. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm going to suggest to you this morning, this is where some of us have been struggling. We've been hearing the word. We've been trying to apply it to our lives, and then we're struggling to persevere with the word that God has given us and the promises that God has given us over the years. You know, and I really sense that some of us are on this journey to maturity in Christ, and God's been kind of downloading things to us, and we're growing in God, but then we're trying to persevere in our relationship with God, and we feel like things are just against us. And always have this picture of like the enemy trying to drag you away. And the enemy's trying to pull you back. And you've got to persevere with the word. Because when you give your life to Jesus, life doesn't necessarily get easy. We understand that, right? You've got to persevere with the word. So God loves you. God loves you. Yeah. Actually, when things get tough, I'm going to continue to understand. God loves me. I'm going to persevere. But I feel like the enemy's tried to drag people away from this journey of persevering with God. And here's what's been happening, right? Here's what's been happening. Some of us are allowing the seed to fall on fertile soil. Praise God. Good soil. But there are people in our network of friends and relationships and partners and work colleagues and others where the seed isn't falling on fertile soil. Okay? And what we see happening, and what I see happening in the lives of people, is we've got people in our church who are persevering with the word, but what's happening is the people that they love and the people that are around about them are not in the same space, right? Because their seed is falling in amongst the thorns. Their seed is falling along the path. They heard it once, and then the devil comes and steals it away. But you're over here. You're hearing the word, you're retaining the word, and you're persevering with the word, but then there's a sense of angst because those that you love are not hearing the word and retaining the word and persevering, they're struggling. And so you're in a tension, right? You're in a tension between moving this way to where God wants you to be and maturing God and continue to grow, continue to get passionate, while the people that you love aren't in that spot, right? And saying, God, what do you want to speak into that situation? I feel like God's saying, you need to be able to go with that tension, right? Because The enemy wants to use that in order for you to back away from persevering with the word. You understand? Right? The devil wants to use that to get you back here in a little pity party and go, oh, okay, well, maybe I just need to be in a place where I'm not growing, and maybe I just need to back off a little bit with my passion. Maybe I need to just come to church a little bit less often. Maybe I just need to put less in the plate so I don't annoy my partner as much as what I am. But God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to be able to persevere with continuing to move forward in maturity in Christ, all the while helping those that you love and those that are around about you to move forward with you in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, you can't do two things, right? You can't back away from persevering in your relationship with God. Because if you do that, you're not hearing the word and retaining it and persevering. You're not going to produce a good crop because you're just going to go back into mediocrity. And to be honest, you're going to go to the place where your loved one is or the person that's close to you is. They're in a place of mediocrity. God doesn't want that for you. Nor does he want you to separate everything, cut it off and go, well, I can't be bothered with you. That's it, I'm moving forward in maturity in Christ. You know? God doesn't want you to do that. Somehow, by the grace of God, you've got to help these people mature in their relationship with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And one of the things we do with that is to pray. It sounds simple, right? But this is what you do. You pray. Say, God, these people here, where the seed is falling on the path and where the seed is falling amongst the thorns, in Jesus' name I pray that their heart would be open to hear the word in Jesus' name, that they would get to a place where they are prospering and growing in the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that's a word for some people in this place. Don't stop moving forward in Jesus' name in your relationship with him, but bring others along with you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I ask you, where's the seed going to fall? Where's the seed going to fall? Talk about giving the last few weeks. Where does that seed fall? For some of us, it falls on rocky soil. Hey, I've had enough about giving. Thank you very much. Right? We harden our heart when it comes to giving. We're open to other things, but my goodness, that seed does not fall on the right place. Come on. You understand what I'm saying? Where does that seed fall when we talk about generosity and giving? Open up your heart, let it fall on fertile soil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to spend a few moments praying. And we can pop some music on. I have a word that I want to give to you this morning. I want to give you a word. I want to give you some promises from God. And I want to encourage you to hear the word. Retain that word and persevere with it. Some of you hear the word, but when life gets difficult, it all sort of falls away. So we're going to pray in a moment. And I want you to hear the word, hear it, and apply it. And then secondly, I'm going to speak some words over this church. And I want to pray that you would hear this word about the potential of this church, and we're going to pray for it, and we're going to believe that what we speak out, that God's got a good thing in store, that we're going to hear that word, and we're going to respond to it and believe it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. The Lord wants to speak into your heart this morning. You are loved by God. You don't need to struggle with your self-image. You were made in God's image. You don't need to struggle with addiction and lust. God can set you free from that in Jesus' name. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. God loves you. God has a plan and purpose for your life. And even though at times your life is difficult, even though at times you wonder where God is in the midst of it, God is there with you. God is there with you on the journey. And He has a plan and purpose, a plan to give you hope and a future in Jesus' name. Oh, don't let the enemy tell you that it's all going to turn out pear-shaped. God has something in store for you that's better than what you're going through right now in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, the devil's trying to tell you that you're allowed to just live and wallow in your self-pity. God wants to set you free from that in Jesus' name. Oh, the devil wants you to walk around all pessimistic and negative. God wants to fill you with the joy of the Holy Spirit so that you can live with optimism and a positive attitude in Jesus' name. Oh, some of you are worried about your relationships with others around about you. The Lord has it. The Lord understands. The Lord's got it. Right? Have faith. Believe. The Lord's got this. Believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I speak a word over the church. You can respond to this as the Spirit leads you. But God has great things in store in 2017 for this church. Oh, come on. God has great things in store for this church. And this year He's been building a foundation. He's been building a foundation. And God's going to build upon that and do great things. Oh, He's been growing us and maturing us. And He's been establishing us so that when the growth comes, we're ready for it. We're mature, we're welcoming, we're helpful, we're reaching out and making friends with others because we've grown in God. God, I thank you that you've been establishing that foundation in this church. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Why don't I just open up this altar this morning? As you do, as we say each week, come forward, come and pray, and we're going to take a few moments. You're welcome to come and stand here. Maybe those words this morning relate to you. It's time to hear the word, put it into practice so that you might be fruitful. Thank you, Jesus. Come, let's pray.
Savior's love, I find joy beyond compare. Endless peace covers all of me. When you breathe within, you turn winter into spring. Grace dissolves every fear in me. Your
dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And then he says, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. So God, as we leave this place, help us to put into practice what we've heard today, but help us to understand the promises you give us day in, day out, week in, week out, and may we apply it to our lives that we might be fruitful for the sake of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to have some morning tea.